You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's still trying to work out the Cindy Hall problem. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And today we are going to be talking with the amazing Natalie Cole from Survivor 37, Survivor David versus Goliath. I'm very excited about this one. I had been messaging with Natalie for a while, trying to get her to come on the podcast. She finally said she was up for doing one, and she is here this week to talk about an episode of Survivor, which featured the do or die twist, plus a lot of other important conversation that happened at Tribal Council. We will get into it all here today with Natalie Cole on the Survivor Know-It-Alls this week. Boy, we had such a treat when Natalie's castmate, Christian Hubicki, joined us to help explain the Monty Hall problem, plus a full recap with Steven on the Know-It-Alls. And this morning, I had a great exit interview with Liana Wallace, who I thought did a really great job on the exit interview, talking about everything from her season, from everything from what she said at Tribal Council to her game with Xander and much more. I thought Liana did a really great job of covering a lot of ground in 15 minutes. I like people who can get into everything. I thought that a really great exit interview with Liana. Plus, we still have a lot to do because Bryce is going to be joining us on the feedback show. Get your feedback questions in at robisawebsite.com/voicemail to hear from Bryce. And plus, we've got a bonus podcast this week. Jason Concepcion, of course, incredible podcaster. Guy knows everything about pop culture and sports, and he loves Survivor. He hosts the No Buffs podcast with J.E. Skeets and company over on the No Buffs podcast. You can also hear Jason on Crooked Media. He'll join me on Friday. Plus, Grace Leader is joining us for the Survivor 41 patron Q&A. So lots of great stuff coming up, including also Adam Klein joining us to talk reality TV casting this Tuesday for the patrons. robiswebsite.com/patron for that. All right, everybody, I'm very excited for our guest here today to talk about the week and the season of Survivor. I was so glad when she finally said that she would come on and do a recap of an episode here with me of Survivor 41. Of course, you can see her currently on Netflix on Survivor 37, David versus Goliath. She is the CEO of Our Weekly Media. Please welcome in the iconic Natalie Cole. Natalie, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for inviting me back. I actually have wanted to come back and sit with you and have these conversations because I love talking with you and I love talking about Survivor, even though I don't get to do that as much as I used to. So thank you for having me.
Well, you gave me such a great interview about your season after it was over. And so I feel like that was such a great conversation that we had then. And so I had always wanted for you to come back. And I'm such a fan of yours. And I'm so glad that you're up for talking today.
Absolutely.
And I really admire you because I feel like that you are such a great interview because you give it straight.
Yes, I do. And our last interview was about a season that I was very passionate about for a number of reasons. And I did think that we had an amazing season, you know, as it was unfolding, even though some of the, you know, I felt some pain. It was like a love-hate situation. I think somebody mentioned that phrase this week. Yes. And that's exactly what it was for me as I was moving through it. So it was easy for me to speak about that season and all the stuff that was happening. But I'm excited for this season as well.
Okay. Natalie, before we talk Survivor, what's been going on in your world?
You know, I have actually slowed my roll significantly, Rob, because of the pandemic. I've been able to, you know, work from home for the most part. I go in here and there. I've allowed my staff to work, you know, these really flexible schedules. And I think it's worked out. In fact, I'm sure it's worked out for both them and for me because, you know, they get to spend a little bit more time with family. They get to be a little more flexible in their job. As long as they get their work done, they can, you know, almost do it from Timbuktu as far as I'm concerned, as long as they're turning in quality work. And so the team has done that. So it's been easy for me to kind of let go a little bit and let them do their thing. I do mine. So for me, I've been working in, you know, more self-care. I didn't realize how, you know, completely tired I was once I started working from home. So my self-care consists of exercising more, eating a little bit more wholesome, and just, you know, doing my thing. Skincare, you know,
yeah, of course,
is another thing that I'm interested in. And so I've spent more time just on self, and I love it. And with family, of course.
Okay. Well, happy to hear that you're doing well. And of course, Natalie, so many people are watching you right now on Netflix from the David versus Goliath being on there. Have you been hearing from any people who are watching you for the first time?
I have. I've heard from a lot of people, actually. And I've gotten a lot of, you know, people that have commended me for the season and people that love me for the season. And then I've got the haters as well. And in fact, I mentioned on the last podcast that I did a couple of weeks ago that somebody left me. I've gotten a few ugly notes, but one that made me laugh was the fact that this one gentleman said that I should be ashamed of myself for the way that I acted. And it's so funny because I told him that, and my daughter said, why do you even respond to that? I said, I don't know. I'm going to stop. But I did respond. I said, well, you know, LOL, I don't know what you expected of me, but, you know, I was out defending myself. And then I told him to go get a life. It was something of that sort. And I repeated that on that podcast. And he was, in fact, listening in. And I think he understood a little bit more from my perspective of what happened in that season, because there were certain things that were really amazing in that season that I did that never made the cut. And, you know, because it didn't fit the narrative. And so, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, let me also say for you to that guy also, still get a life.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to go back and watch something that happened like from years, like, you know what? It's one thing if you're watching it and the show was on last night and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. But you're watching an old show.
Well, for them, it is. It's new for them. A lot of people have really never watched Survivor. And I have people who know me, knew that I was on Survivor, and I'm hearing from them like, oh, my God, your season is on Netflix. So now they're watching it. And I really probably didn't get the Netflix hoopla. Like, everybody was like so jazzed
that
went on Netflix. And I'm like, well, Survivor is on Netflix. And I happen to be on an episode, you know, on a season. But a lot of people are now discovering Survivor. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole new fan base that's kind of coming on board. And obviously, that's a good thing for CBS, for Survivor, and for Netflix.
Okay. Well, Natalie, let's talk a little bit about Survivor 41. I would love to get your opinion, sort of just big picture, about how you're feeling overall about this new season.
This season has been a bit of an acquired taste for me. As it's unfolded each week, I've begun to enjoy it more. I thought initially there was a lot of advantages and idols and different tricks. And it was just hard for me to keep up with all of that. Like, and then I thought the way they did the first immunity idol that three different people from three different tribes had to find it and make some weird comment. It just gave it away. And so the idol, you know, information is power, as we know, and having that idol and not everyone knowing about you having the idol has always been a thing. And it just was blown wide open by the rule of the game this season by having to make these comments about, you know, you know what they had to say. And so I thought that was a little strange for me. But I do think that as it's unfolding, I've really been interested in the social experiment aspect that's been unfolding before our eyes.
Yeah, I really wanted to ask you about that because that I would just love to hear your opinion about how you think the show has done with telling these stories, because I know you work in media and you run a black newspaper and you're very focused on covering the stories of different black people and, you know, things that are happening in the black community. And I wanted to know if you thought that Survivor has done a good job with telling these stories.
I think it's done a good job for the most part. I do think that it's missed the mark in other regards, and it's not because of Survivor, it's because the contestants didn't seize the opportunity. I think what they've shown overall for this season is the black social climate and experience that has been happening outside of the game. And we saw that last night with Liana as she spoke eloquently about being black first and how society sees her blackness first. And both she and Deshaun shared a profound reality of attempting to play the game within the context of their blackness. That is trying to have an allegiance to one another, but still playing the game individually. And the question is, can you do both? And if so, how sustainable is that, even for other blacks and survivors going forward? So it does beg that question. And as the women's alliances have proven, gamers are on the lookout for Legion groups and will attempt to kind of break up or target them. So will this change the opportunities for future blacks to win? I think it might in the short term. And I think non-black contestants will fear black alliances as they go forward. I completely related to what they shared. And I felt badly really for Ricard and Erica.
Yes.
Because they both could have used that as an opportunity to work the jury, but they were stumped by it. But they are also people of color, and he's revealed a disability, and they could have spoken to their realities, even though theirs may not be from shared experiences, as was Liana's and Deshaun. They had the opportunity for the jury to hear from their pain points, and they were, as I said, a bit stumped.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know because that wasn't shown in the episode. I saw some people upset that, you know, we ended up hearing only from Xander about, you know, what, you know, that his thoughts were on, you know, what the black players were going through. And Danny did say, you know, he thought of Xander as an ally. And we didn't get to hear from Ricard and Erica. But I get the sense that especially like, you know, following Ricard on social media, I would have to imagine that those other players spoke about this and the show just chose to not fit those comments into this conversation.
And that's my point. So they missed that mark because those conversations are just as important and just as credible. And you, some of the viewers would look at it and say, you know, this is racist because it's all about blacks. And so I do fear that many whites who saw the show or are listening currently will think that these are blacks and they're racist, but that's simply not the case. They are connected through a shared experiences that are for the most part unpleasant, if you will.
Yeah.
And thereby they see a need to protect one another to the best of their abilities within the game. But by the way, black connectedness is not guaranteed, as we are not monolithic. And just look what occurred with me on David versus Goliath.
Sure.
Most of my drama and my pain point came from another black whose name will not be mentioned.
I won't mention it.
But also, Xander and Heather could have seized that opportunity. They could have articulated something to the jury, because this right now, this is work the jury time, right? So they could have swayed that convo. I don't know if they had the opportunity as much as what they showed, but Xander did attempt it. But of all words, he used privilege. And there's, so that comment alone, the white privilege, is kind of a buzzword, and it's very politically motivated. So he missed the mark by his choice in words, in my thinking, because he introduced that in the jury's mind. And because it's a buzzword, it kind of worked against the point he was attempting to make. So I thought it was a work the jury opportunity missed by both Xander and Heather. Heather, she showed a classic, I didn't know. Which is likely her reality. And that's what we find so often in society. But saying such kind of sort of implies that she has no meaningful relationships with Black people. Because I actually, 30 years ago, I recall having this conversation with one of my white friends. We were out to lunch at the LA, we worked for the LA Times at the time. And there was something that happened. It could have been the OJ thing. I believe it probably was. And we were having this conversation, and I made a comment about what I felt about being ashamed of that happening because of all the reasons I gave. And she said, well, why would you feel ashamed for that reason? She didn't understand it. And I said, well, from a community perspective, because that's really what this is, you know, actions and activities and thought processes based on the community rather than on the individual. So I do think Heather had a classic response about not knowing, but it didn't help her cause, because I think, again, these are all the last opportunities to speak to the jury and to convince the jury that you're in the game and there's a reason that you've made it this far.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you bring the jury into this, because, you know, that you have these real experiences that people are talking about. But it's a great point that, you know, the game isn't stopping. Also, you know, first off, like, this is a conversation that's happening on national television and for people around the world. It's also a conversation that's happening in front of like a very specific audience of four people who are the jury.
Right.
So
exactly.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting. And that's, you know, I hadn't been thinking of that. You feel like that Xander actually didn't do a great job in that conversation.
Yeah, I think he had it in his mind, but things move so quickly, as you know, when you're in tribal council, they just zip by. So I think Xander is really surprising. I think he's under the radar to some extent. But I do think that he is thoughtful. I think he's rolling it around. He's trying to figure it out. And he came out with the best, you know, succinct statement he could make. And maybe he said more. We don't know. But I do think he made a valiant attempt to address the issue. But he just fell short because of the, to me, he used a, you know, the privilege word. And he didn't elaborate on like what that meant to him in the context of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have represented an opportunity for him to address the jury. And we just didn't see that. And I did really feel badly, because I literally was thinking, well, we have other people of color that are sitting here. And then I thought, and not only are people of color sitting here, we've got a couple of white people. So everybody has an opportunity to speak on this. As it relates to the issues now, whether or not it was shown, and if they got, I guess they showed the best that they could from the statements they made. That's what I felt.
You mentioned also that you felt like that this could potentially be an issue for future Black players of Survivor, but the alliance didn't hold. Do you feel like that because it didn't necessarily work in this season, that there might be more hope? Like, if had the alliance been successful, do you think that that would have been more of a threat for future Black players, or does it matter?
I think that it puts the suggestion, or it doesn't even put the suggestion, it actually exclaims the fact that if you're Black and you're on a tribe together, you should stick together. And it reminds me again of the women's alliances and how, you know, one woman's alliance really kind of paved the way for the several seasons to come of people wondering out loud and in their confessions if there's a women's alliance going on, even when there wasn't. And I think that this represents yet another group that people will look at similarly. You know, if you're Black, you're together. That's not necessarily the case, because that's certainly not what happened with me and David and Goliath, right? Mm-hmm. We were the only two Blacks on the tribe. And guess what? A lot of the drama, if not most of it, was with the two Blacks on the tribe. Mm-hmm. So, I think that it can go either way. I do have a concern that in the short term, at a minimum, you're going to have that in the minds of gamers, like, you know, the Blacks are here. They're sticking together. We know that. We can never be a part of that group. So I do think that Shane differentiated herself by having a backup plan. The only problem is she had the backup plan with the shrewdest guy in the game. He's the baller, right? Mm-hmm. Ricard. He's gotten away with so much. And the way he thinks, Shane, though, she had it right. Because if you look at Danny, Deshaun, and Liliana have failed to establish relationships, strong bonds outside of the four.
Yeah.
But Shane did. And it crossed the boundaries of her Blackness, right? Mm-hmm. But the unfortunate thing is that's the very person that killed her. But she didn't recognize, as Ricard did, that the fight was now. We have to now separate from one another. And he saw that. He told her in that last episode, I don't have anything. You have an immunity idol and you've got your alliance, and I don't have that. He needed to be reassured. That's his language of love. And she missed it. Mm-hmm. He told her in a couple of different ways. He told her when he did not trust the fact of giving her back that advantage. Wasn't an advantage or an idol that he had?
That he second was holding. Advantage. Yeah, he was holding an extra vote. Yeah.
Yeah. That to me, he showed his colors back then. Because if you believe in me, and that was the whole argument, right? But Shane has not read the language well with Ricard. When she actually went to him and said, Deshaun and them want to vote you out, and I'm not going to let that happen, his response was inappropriate for the information she just gave him, right? Mm-hmm. He did not receive it well. He showed that he didn't believe her. She read that. She was very intuitive to understand that at the moment, but she didn't believe her gut.
Yeah.
So she continued to go on with him, but he's shown her in two or three different ways. Even Papaya Gate didn't sit yes. well with me.
Yes.
So Ricard is pretty shrewd, and he is really, he's been lined up to be one of the final three. And I'm not sure if I can call it yet that he will be. Mm-hmm. He certainly has an opportunity. Depends on what happens over the next, week or so, or over the next. But because he's also almost closed out, so it's kind of anybody's game, except for maybe, one or two people. Mm-hmm. I don't see necessarily being in the final three.
So, Natalie, can I ask you if you were in, say, a future season and there were other multiple Black players in your tribe, and then how would you handle going about this to make sure that your group wouldn't get targeted?
That's a good question. And I don't know.
Because I hope one day we will get to see you play again on Survivor.
Thank you for saying that, Rob. I don't know in the short term if there's a way against this other than convincing people through who you are and your social game while you're out there that you as Shan did, develop relationships beyond your Blackness, And I think she did it. She did a great job of that. She had a number of people, but he was, Ricard obviously was the closest. So you'd have to play it the way Shan did. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it would be authentic, because we as Blacks don't all think alike. And, even though you might think, look how much Deshaun was wavering early in the game. I mean, early in the alliance, he wavered quite a bit. And it was really because Shan was my way or the highway, which, by the way, she was. But her shadow wasn't a bad shadow to walk in. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't recognize that at the time of being in her shadow at that moment was a good thing. Mm-hmm. He just kind of couldn't wait to be king. And so that kind of the cracks in the allegiance or in the alliance came when Deshaun was moving in and out of the alliance and having these combos and, being almost you know, pouty mm-hmm. with Shan based on what she wanted to do.
And so you feel like that, going back to last week, that was definitely a mistake for Deshaun and Danny to turn on Shan at that point, right?
Yeah, I think what they should have did, first of all, Leanna was accountable for that because she shared the information. Leanna has played an interesting game. I don't think her game ever really got off as she wanted it to. She could never really implement the strategies that she articulated so well in her confessionals. I mean, she showed us she knew the game and knew how to play the game, but she did hold steadfast to her relationship with Shan at a cost. I mean, it was a significant cost. And so she shared that with Shan to have another moment, and they had another moment, but guess what? It jeopardized both of their games. Mm-hmm. Both of them were out based on that information she shared. And to me, she said, instead of going with this plan, let's take Deshaun out. She agreed with that. But yet, so it was really, it was, so yeah, last week was the, you know, the crack in the foundation of the Black Alliance.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I want to ask you about this vote that we saw from last night, where ultimately Erica had to decide which way to go. And I think it's a very interesting point in the game, because Erica really had the choice, along with Heather, to go with the Ricard and Xander side or the Danny and Deshaun side. Do you feel like that either one of those paths is better for Erica?
I think Erica is playing a stronger game than what meets the eye of the viewer. That's my best guess, because think about it. Shan is very observant and very strategic, and off the cuff, Shan has wanted Erica out of this game. And she's right. From the little we've received in Erica's confessions, Erica is playing the hell out of this game. She's like the quiet touch, but she's in it to win it.
She's acting like a David, but playing like a Goliath.
That's right. And I'm loving Erica, actually. Mm-hmm. Now, last night, I think she could have made a different decision, because Leanna is not as strong as Ricard. And she literally was the first to suggest that Shan be voted out. And she was the first to suggest that Ricard be voted out. Mm-hmm. So she recognized the enemy as it's coming. And she knows she's playing this game. Now, why she didn't hold steadfast to that decision to take out Ricard, I don't understand that, because it's clear as day, he is a huge threat. And she could have easily gone with the Ricard votes. I didn't understand that move, and it may be one of her biggest mistakes of the game. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I see that. But even before that, I wanted to talk about that whole, what was it?
Do or die
challenge.
Yes.
Before we get there. Oh my God.
Okay. Well, Natalie, I know you are an old school Survivor fan. So if I had to guess, I think that maybe you didn't like the do or die.
I was shook.
Yes.
But not in a good way.
Yeah.
Because by the time you hustle so diligently to make it that far on the island, in my thinking, there is something that's inherently wrong with the reality that you can be voted out the game based on pure luck.
Mm-hmm.
Luck of the draw rather than by, you know, failing at a puzzle or some sort of trivia or starting a fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was shook. But I commend Liliana, Liana, for understanding in the heat of the moment. And it's exactly that. It's a small and fast closing window of opportunity to make the right call. And she determined that she was not necessarily at the top of the hierarchy as to who should be voted out next.
Yeah.
So she made a solid decision to not play, even though she knew she was somewhat in trouble. Mm-hmm. I loved her for that. And Heather, realizing that she was also safer than most, she made the right call to sit out as well, because the odds of staying on the island based on sitting out that challenge were much better than the risks associated with playing the challenge.
Yeah.
So that part of it, I thought, yes. Okay. And as I watched, I could really feel Danny being in a space with his father on that challenge. And I thought, Danny's going to win this, because there's something about our abilities to bring in like new levels of mental fortitude that can shore up or convert into physical power to accomplish goals that we might not otherwise be able to execute. And I could see that Danny was in the realm of that during the challenge. And it was special to watch that. And he later confirmed it during his confessional. And I think, you know, I wasn't seeing a lot of character building in Danny throughout the season. He's been kind of quiet. You see him go along with the plan. Is he a fly under the radar type guy? And generally at that stature and size, you don't really fly under the radar well, but he's done a good job of that if that's been his strategy. But I thought that them showing the aspect, even the fact that he was a father, I don't remember hearing that until like this episode or so.
Yeah. It's almost like I think that they saved all of Danny's backstory for this episode. In the first couple of scenes the episodes of the show, we got like a lot of people's backstory about what they were doing and a lot of their right. hardships from real life. But it was almost like they waited here to give us all this for Danny. I noticed that it was, I think this all took place on day 20. It said on the bottom mm-hmm. of the screen, day 20. And then that was like the only thing we got for day 20 was right. That was the anniversary of Danny's dad passing away. And then day 21 is when he wins the challenge. But it was, amazing moment. And Survivor can give us those things where, you know, it's almost like the lack of anything can sometimes create these breakthroughs that people have.
I agree. And I love seeing that breakthrough, but I don't know. It just, I just was unsure about him as a player based on not having a lot of, you know, information about who he is as a person. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think I thought his character development was very late. So
I agree. Think that that's because that we're there's not that much there in terms of his game, or that he is, actually somebody who is steady, but, you know, he has a shot to win this thing?
I think that Survivor may be doing something a little different this season. I'm only guessing at this, but I look at Danny and kind of what they showed last night. And I think about Erica and the fact that Shane was on to Erica early on, and Erica has made enough confessionals that kind of support the fact that she's in it to win it. Mm-hmm. So I think, this could be the year of the underdogs, especially Xander, who's the biggest underdog in the game, right? Mm-hmm. You get little bits and pieces of information about them that make you think they're stronger. I mean, Xander is the last man standing from his original tribe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the last person left from the Yasa.
Yasa, and he's got an idol, and he's won immunity, and he's had an advantage. And so guess what? He's still in the game. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be the season of underdogs, and we may be surprised who the final three are, because, I just feel like they're doing things a little differently. And we're seeing a lot of personality through Ricard, but I don't know that his game is sustainable because he has really not had a strong social game. Mm-hmm. He struggled with establishing relationships beyond Shan. And he has tried to work the jury just a little bit, but not enough. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the jury, I think Deshaun and others missed that opportunity last night to throw Ricard under the damn bus.
Yeah. What should they have done?
They should have raked him through the coals. Shan left out saying, Deshaun, you're a snake, and Ricard, you have my vote. Well, I like the fact that she said to Ricard, he has her vote, because obviously that puts a big target on him.
Yeah.
But I think she said it for the wrong reasons, because it came from an emotional perspective. So I think at that moment, caught up in the moment, she still thought she would vote for Ricard. At the end of the day, I got a feeling she won't. I have a sense, depending on who the final three is, I don't think she would vote for Ricard. He was actually the snake that took her out. And how is his action any different than Deshaun, who struck out early to break the alliance? It's the same thing. It's just a different alliance. So I think what Deshaun should have done last night was let it be known to the jury as well that Ricard was the one. That's a power move for Ricard, but at the same time, it's very shrewd and snaky, and it could work to his advantage to tell the jury how dirty Ricard is. So I thought they missed that opportunity.
Natalie, how does Deshaun do that? How does he present that to Shan, that it's actually Ricard that did you the dirtiest?
He started to do it, but he didn't execute it. He didn't close it. Right. So he started to do it by saying, you know, you call me the snake. He should have said, you call me the snake. But it was actually one of your closest allies who suggested we take you out. It wasn't me. He should have said that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't.
But I almost feel like that if I'm Shan and I'm just putting myself in the position of if one of my kids does something wrong and says like, well, somebody else told me to do it. It's like, yeah, but why did you listen to them?
Well, he could have then said, and I went with it because he told me that you came to him and specifically said I wanted him out. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just me who wanted him out. It was a conversation with the group. Mm-hmm. And I would have even looped Liana in. He didn't have to be the fall guy for all of that because it wasn't just him.
Yeah.
Right. But back to that do or die. I think statistically speaking, you know, Deshaun did the wrong thing because obviously you're supposed to switch to up your odds, right?
Yes. Yes. We talked about this. We had I know he's a David, but Christian Hubicki came on the podcast with us last night to explain how you have better odds on the Monty Hall problem by trading. And so Deshaun really beat the odds.
Right, right. But you know what? Some people aren't aware of or don't know how to look at such situations mathematically. So they resort to their best guess, which may or may not follow the math. I'm not saying he did that, but I'm saying this happens. And then the hiccup with this mathematical model is that it doesn't consider human behavior, and namely how many people respond and react to situations intuitively, which includes actions and decisions based on, you know, gut feelings or our heart, you know, what we feel in our heart. And that's what he did. And I will go out on a bit of a limb and share that having the ability and gift of discernment, and it is a gift, the gift of discernment, or having developed like intuitive stock, that's a factor of your upbringing, your environment, spirituality, your world experience, etc. So many times, I've had experience of knowing the truth about something without having proof or data to support what I believe to be true.
Yeah.
And I've stepped out on faith, not knowing, on faith of knowing what I believe based on what I feel intuitively, rather than from an evidence-based perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's what Deshaun did last night. And I was so proud of him for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but I also think that it should have been do or almost die.
That's what they should have called it. Yeah.
Not do or die, but do and almost die. Because to me, it should have been an aspect of the challenge, you know, because you're enlivening the challenge and you're keeping it interesting. But the penalty should fit the crime. And in this case, it didn't. You know, in other words, the penalty could have been something like the first one out, you lose your next vote, or you're banned from competing in the following challenge. Mm-hmm. And both of those would make you dead, would almost make you dead, but not quite dead and out of the game. And it would accomplish the purpose of making the challenge, tweaking the challenge and making it a little bit more interesting. So, you know, nobody wants to die in this game.
Right.
Based on luck of the draw. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Going back to Liana, you know, she, I thought, got a raw deal because that she probably wasn't the top person to go, and it was probably Danny or Deshaun, and Danny won immunity, and then Deshaun got safe. And because of that, she ends up being the person to go. Do you think that she should have done a little bit more scrambling to come up with a different plan?
I think it was late for her to scramble, and I think that's why she didn't. And if she did, they didn't show it to us. And she's not a good scrambler. Look at what she did with Xander. I hate his face. And then she thinks she can go to Xander and say, mm-hmm. can you give me your idol to hold? I mean, you just showed yourself in the prior tribal or two that he couldn't trust you because you asked for his idol. Now, here's the deal. Shan blew up her game. Shan blew up Liana's game because knowledge is power in this game. And she told Shan when they had their moment on the summit, Shan knew that Liana got that knowledge is power advantage. Mm-hmm. What does Shan do? She went right back and told one of her tribe members. Mm-hmm. And therefore they spread it to who was closest to, who was that? Tiffany that told Xander.
Yeah.
And they set her up. And that was embarrassing, the way that was a total failed attempt at using an advantage. But Shan actually blew that up for her. Shan also blew up her game by going to tell Ricard that they were being targeted. And Liana had no relationships outside of the four. She didn't have a backup plan.
Yeah.
So she was embarrassed in one regard with Xander. She has no backup plan. And she had gone against her earlier tribe, Evie and whomever else. And I never saw her game really get off. But I did feel that she had knowledge about the game and she understood what was happening. And she was able to articulate it, but she was not able to execute a plan in the game. And she kind of went along with Chance plan. Mm-hmm.
For Danny and Deshaun, what do you think they can do now as they go into the final six, still with big targets on their back?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to show. Danny has a really great opportunity because from our perspective, he doesn't look like he's playing a high level strategic game as some of the others are. Now, he could be, and we're just not seeing that in the editing. So I do think that they have an opportunity to develop these relationships that they've ignored for far too long. Mm-hmm. I think that both Danny and Deshaun have an opportunity to sway Erica and Heather to get out Ricard. But they didn't try hard enough. At least we didn't see that last week, you know? And they just need to try to build a relationship that's convincing enough that, you know, they can work with Erica and she keeps them around, because she's already said, she's already called out Ricard as the biggest target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so much of this really goes back to that vote where they split up into the two halves, and Shan ended up going along with the plan to vote out Nasir and keep Heather in the game, because that really turned into where then Ricard was able to pick up both Heather and Erica to work with him on the vote to get out Shan, this vote now to take out Liana. And now, you know, Danny and Deshaun, who were with Erica and Heather from the start, are really sort of in not the greatest spot to try to get Erica and Heather back with them.
I agreed. And I think they should have held on to Nasir a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
They could have held on to Nasir a little longer because, you know, you did have some big threats in the game. Was he the biggest threat? Mm. And also back to Liana for a moment, I thought that she finally gave up on pushing Xander out. And she stated that some of the greatest players had to go back and work with blah, blah, blah. But she did nothing to convince him that she had a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I just think, again, from a social perspective, they played good with one another among the four. But social, you know, from a social angle, they missed the mark.
Natalie, were there any other standout players for you this season besides the people that are still in the game now?
You know who I really liked and that I really, really regretted got voted out early and remind me so much of my Natalia.
Oh, who?
Sid.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Sid. And I text her that. I said, oh my God, Sid reminds me so much of you. And she said, do you know I've received so many messages over that? She said, I can't believe that. I said, yeah, Sid is reminding me, giving me Natalia vibes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I could have saw her game come further to fruition.
Yeah.
And I did like Evie. Evie is smart. And I just think Evie probably needed more time to be develop relationships as well. She didn't have sustainable relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sad to see them take her out when she went out as well.
Natalie, if Erica doesn't end up pulling this thing out, it looks like that there's going to be another man who ends up winning Survivor. Do you think that the show needs to do anything differently to try to help the fairness of the game if we have seven seasons in a row that have a male winner of the show?
Well, I'm not going to say that Erica's still in a great position to win this game. I think Erica is going to have to prove that she has a resume, though, because, again, I think we're not seeing what some of the stuff that she's made happen in the background. So I do think women have to just stand up and take ownership of their game too, you know,
mm-hmm.
because she had the power last night to take out one of the guys, Ricard, because at that point, Liana wasn't a big threat and hasn't really been a big threat in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she called it, but didn't own it and didn't execute it. So a part of that is about us being able to execute our strategy in spite of the risk that we face and knowing that sometimes you can get through it. You can just squeak through and go with your gut and make things happen. So I think Survivor, I think they're doing the right stuff. I'm looking forward to what they do as we go forward. But I do think they're doing a lot of the right stuff to level the playing field. And yeah.
Natalie, I want to say that over the summer, you did a quarantine questionnaire with Dalton Ross, and I thought that you had one of the best quarantine questionnaires of any of the survivors.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I loved that you, like, for every one of the questions, like, and you could see that, your work with the newspapers, I was like, you had like a headline to answer every single one of the questions.
I did. And I don't recall what they were, but.
Well, I thought of it because you talked about Natalia, and I think you had said, I read it again today, and you said, like bad girls have all the fun, where you talked about how you were still friendly with Natalia.
Yes, I am. She is a sweetheart. In fact, Natalia and I connected in Australia, but I have to tell you, when I left the night that I was voted out and I got to the island where, you know, all of us, the first four or so had been voted out, she thought that she still didn't want to be bothered with me. You see, in the game, I tried to get Natalia to bury the hatchet with me. Mm-hmm. I said, because if you bury the hatchet, nobody will know that we're connected. So let's connect. Let's get beyond this bullshit that we had and let's play the game together. She would not have it. I approached her at least twice, but maybe even three times. I said, girl, I washed your socks. What's up with that? After we had gotten into it, right? I told her in Australia, I washed your socks. That should have been enough. And she just wouldn't have it. And when we got to Australia, so she really thought that she just didn't want to be bothered with me, but I got off the boat. Hey guys. And we started talking and I knew immediately that, Alec had voted her off, though Angelina said Alec would never do that. He didn't vote her off. It had to be that somebody pulled an idol. I said, no girl, Alec got Natalia. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that was my first question for her. Did Alec vote you out? She said, absolutely. And so we started exchanging notes and we were the two biggest ones that talked Survivor all day long in Australia. We were boring some of the others. And so she asked me to room with her. Mm-hmm. And that was surprising because and so when we were figuring out rooms, I would not speak up and say, I want to room with Natalia. But she finally said, well, I'm going to room with because everybody liked Natalia to the point that when we were figuring out rooms, they wanted Natalia in their room. Mm-hmm. And she and I roomed together and had the greatest, you know, time. And so, yeah, we're still connected. I attended her wedding and, you know, we're very friendly.
Natalie, a lot of the listeners wanted me to ask you about how you felt about having you come up, you referenced in the Survivor game within the game. When that there was one of the puzzles was, can I have your jacket? Of course, referencing the famous moment from David versus Goliath.
Right. And so what's the question?
I wanted to know, how did you feel about that? To have that be one of the puzzles that became a game within a game.
Oh, well, that's interesting because I wasn't aware of that. So that's this new thing that they have, the game within the game, which I haven't gone to see. And one of the questions is, can I have your jacket?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That whole jacket thing, it was interesting to me because that's, again, that intuitive thing, even though I didn't say it enough. It's unfortunate I couldn't articulate it as I got voted out. But it took me a long time to even tell people that when Angelina hugged me, that's when all truth beheld me.
Yeah.
And I knew she got me voted out, right? And when the second vote was read, and I said, there's something funky about that, but things move so fast, you don't really have time to think about it. But I decided, you're not leaving the jacket. So that's been one of those things that, you know, I feel really great about having not left the jacket. And of course, all the Angelina fans are saying I was being selfish. Well, you're damn straight because I knew she was always cold. And yeah. I think she thought I would feel sorry for her. And had she had nothing to do with my being voted out, maybe, and I would have left it. But I knew for a fact that she did it. And she said, well, the only reason I went along with it is because I knew that you were one of the most powerful people in the game and you could have convinced the other ones to take me out. That's what she told me was her reasoning for doing it. Because
yeah,
I'm like, girl, the Goliath cannibalized themselves, right?
Natalie, do you like being associated with the jacket moment? Because it's such a big moment in the show, but maybe that, you know, has to do with you getting voted out. Maybe that you're not a fan of that.
I'm neutral. I'm okay with it. I don't, you know, it's not a big deal. I think David and Goliath, you know, it was just an amazing season. And I think I'm grateful to have played a part in that, mm-hmm. even though I didn't make it further into the game as I wanted. I'm so grateful to have it. What I didn't understand was the whole editing thing and how that worked out. Yeah. I had some feelings about that initially, but I've come around to that because I used to just watch it that was the only reality show I watched and I just didn't get the editing aspect. And so I don't have a problem with the Jacket Association because it was a part of what happened to me. And so many people asked for that jacket, even that one who will go unnamed, mm-hmm. asked for my jacket, even though I knew he was setting me up that night and I was setting him up to be voted out that night.
Yeah.
And then Nick asked for my jacket, which was never shown. And so the jacket became this really political thing, for the last, you know, few days that I was out there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I, as I told a couple of people, that jacket is going to be in the Survivor Museum at some point.
Yeah, in the Smithsonian.
I'm going to hang on to it until you get the museum open, Rob.
Sure, sure. So you still have it? It's in like a good condition, in like a, you know, dry cleaning bag?
It's in good condition. It's stored. Actually, I do take it out and I sit on my deck with it every now and then and kind of just, you know, I'm warm and I may even reminisce. Mm-hmm. It was a cool jacket and it was a good thing to have because I didn't really stay in the shelter. I slept outside and even when it was raining, I would be sitting outside with my hooded jacket on. Okay.
Yeah.
During the storm, I was out in the storm with my jacket on.
So we rewatched your season over the summer that we did a countdown of the greatest seasons of all time. And Survivor David versus Goliath performed very well. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head. I think it was 7 and I think it might be too low at 7. And
right.
We had an award for the best pre-merge players of the season. And it was called the Kelly Wentworth Award for the best pre-merge
player. How cute.
Player.
I remember Kelly. Yeah, yes. That was cool.
And people said when we got to David versus Goliath, no, rename it the Natalie Cole Award for best pre-merge players.
Serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, that's good to know. Thank you.
We renamed the award for the best pre-merge player of the season. And when we rewatched it back, I saw that you had a moment with Jeff at the finale where you talked about how, you know, you talked about the editing. You weren't crazy about the edit. And I thought that Jeff really put you on the spot at the reunion show where Jeff said, okay, well, does anybody here raise your hand if you thought, and I don't remember did he say about your edit or about their edit? Did anybody else here have a problem with the edit? I thought that was a pressure filled spot to put the other players in. Like, who's going to raise their hand in that spot?
Exactly. And guess what? He said, he didn't say me. He said, did anybody else have a problem with their edit? And no one raised their hand. But yet there were three or four that were pissed, particularly, shall I name names? I will tell you one person that I know who was pissed and I know why she was pissed. And I do know she told me she said something after because I said, when Jeff said that, I used my father's words. This is what my father would say when you're not saying, responding to something. He said, she didn't say a mumbling word. Mm-hmm. So Allison,
yeah,
because Allison was a bit purple, right?
Right.
From time to time, because Allison really did have, in my thinking, sometimes moments that weren't shown that could have been shown that I thought she really excelled. In fact, I was trying to put the target on her earlier by calling her the total package, you know, that she was a doctor, she's smart, she's athletic, she's playing the game and, you know, take her, not me, right? They never showed any of that. But Allison was pissed about her edit. And there were a couple other people that had some mumblings about their edit, but no one spoke up when he said that. And so it was what it was. But yeah. And I didn't know if I was pissing Jeff off because there was so much talk about what I was saying about my edit. And I really wasn't saying a hell of a whole lot. I think I really just kind of mentioned it to a couple of people that, and it was really because I was unfamiliar with how that editing would work. Because I thought there were some great moments where I would have looked like the damn hero and where what happened?
Right.
You know? So anyway, I thought, first of all, Jeff gave me a lot of stage time during the finale, which I was surprised and pleased with that because he didn't call on everybody. So that meant something that he called on me. So I know that I end up being a big personality, even when I wasn't trying to be. Because again, I was kind of beat up out there and I was protecting myself. And what people saw as confrontation. It was me as protecting myself because I was not going to allow my, you know, people to disrespect me for the sake of optics.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is what it is.
And I think that he has to recognize that you were so great on the show, and the fact that, you know, he was willing to call on you, he does seem like open to that conversation. And I wonder if you went back, if it would be a different story with the edit.
I would love it to be a different story with the edit. If I went back, I would go back to be able to create a different narrative, but at the same time, being myself. You know, I'm not going to change who I am for the sake of the show. And I do tend to be edgy. I do tend to be forward. I do tend to be, you know, this bigger sometimes than life personality. And a lot of that is based on my upbringing and the path that I've walked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shoes that I've had to walk in for my life and the path that I took to do what I've done in life. So I can't change that because I'm going on a show. It's going to come out. So some parts of what you saw, yeah, that's Natalie the fighter. That's just who you saw when I have to fight. And I'm choosing not to, you know, run from it because I couldn't. And so, yeah, you saw that. I can throw some curveballs and I will if necessary.
Natalie, I have some questions for you from the listeners of the podcast. You have time for some questions?
I do.
Okay. All right. How about Ben Taub says, Napalm Natalie is an all-time great nickname. Do you have any fun nicknames for the players this season?
Good question, Ben. And no, I actually don't. I did not name them because, again, it's kind of started off for me. The season was a little weird the way it started, and I never got around to naming people.
Mm-hmm.
I did have names for the David and Goliath group as we started out, as we were observing each other and not communicating.
Oh, from pregame.
I was like, I had different people named and different people I thought came to the game that represented prior players.
Do you have any that you could share?
Sure. I thought Pat reminded me initially of the winner of Ben.
Okay.
The Ben Bombs. Yes. I thought Pat reminded me of Ben because I thought Pat was an Army guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the other David reminded me of Twyla. My God, how does her name escape me? The David, not Jessica, the blonde.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. I don't know. I'm sorry if she's hearing this because I know Elizabeth. She reminded me of Twyla just in observing and hearing from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what her game would be like, but I thought she was Twyla-like. I had... I'm not going to share that one because it's going to piss somebody off.
Okay. What if you just told us the player that they reminded you of, but don't tell us who it was?
Mm-mm, it'll still be, to me, it'll be too obvious. I can't do that one wrong.
Okay. I had
and
to
I
try.
And I don't want to piss off the person that I really do like, because this is a, you know, player from a prior season who okay. I thought the player reminded me of them, but as I got to know that player, they are nothing like the person that I thought. But initially, I just, again, in looking at people and sizing people up, I did have some similarities that I noticed about different people. And I shared them with Jeff, and he was busting a gut. He and some of the production team, because I was naming names, and I didn't hesitate. And I had like 7 or 8 people who I thought was a duplicate of someone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bingo Bango wants to know, what inspired you to go on the show?
I saw the first episode in the first season, and I've seen every season, but during the first season, I loved it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go on this show one day. And I held that to heart. And even though I was super busy at the time, and my husband was like, I can't believe you're watching this show. I told Jeff, my husband is not a Survivor fan. And my husband used to say, if Jeff says one more time, come on in here, guys. He said, I'm going to have a, he would say something that was pretty ugly. Like, I'm going to have a fit.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought that I would go on the show, and I love the show. I love the fact of an adventure. I wasn't afraid of it. And in fact, at the end of the day, I had a great time. And I tell people, I just, you know, went on a 3-week camping trip, and it was happened to be on the beaches of Fiji, and I met new people and I enjoyed myself. And that's really legitimately how I see it. It was a major adventure, and I have no regrets for attending it, other than I would prefer to have looked more like my perception of myself today. And you see, I said my perception because I got a lot of that. She wasn't self-aware, which a part of that was not only the edit, but it was also during the times that I didn't want to seem like I was aware about whatever was happening at that moment to throw off, you know, he who will not be named.
Right. Right. I mean, how frustrating is that as a professional person to go out there and then play Survivor, and then you sort of like have your basically your professional reputation in the hands of a TV show that might not paint you in a flattering light?
That is definitely a risk. And it was one I was willing to take. And I didn't care about that as much because I know a number of the people that I do business with, they're at a pretty high level. And we're talking about, you know, the president of Bank of America for the state of California, the president and over AT&T. I mean, I'm dealing with people at a higher level. They don't typically watch Survivor. So I knew that some of them would know that I was on, but never see it. And others, I mean, they know what I do in business, and they actually are able to compartmentalize and separate, you know, reality TV from the person. But that there is that fear for people who are out there, you know, working corporate or in the job market. I think they would have a bigger risk than I would. You know what I'm saying? Because I work for myself.
Yeah.
And the proof is in the pudding. And so, yeah, I think it became a non-issue when I thought it through based on where I am in my work, my career.
Okay. Now, Nathan Meesum wants to know, who from this season would you hire? Is there anybody that you have seen this season that you feel like would be a good part of your team?
That's a good question, Nathan. I think a number of them have shown the ability to be strategic and to think strategic, but it's also in the execution. So first of all, the ability to think strategic tells me that you really kind of know how the world works. And I did see that in a number of players who, some of which their games didn't come to fruition. So that's a tough question. But yeah, I do think if you've shown strategic thinking, Liana did that. Evie did that. You know, Xander has shown that he's thoughtful and he's thinking through things. And, you know, again, I think late bloomer is what I think is that what they're doing. They're going to have these underdogs and under the radar people come forward. Danny is a great guy. He seems like a good guy. Is he thinking strategically about the game? They haven't really shown us that. They have shown that he's gone along with someone who's come up with a strategic plan and concept, you know. Ricard would be amazing on my sales team because
yes,
he is really about kind of thinking through and strategizing, as was Shan, Erica. I mean, so there, you know, I think there's a number of people I can hire from the folks that are in the game.
Be a good team.
Yeah.
AJ wants to know who in the final six will feel the sting of Natalie Napalm. Who's next? Who's going to get voted out next week's episode?
Well, I think who should be voted out next week is Ricard or Erica or Xander. And I think not in that order. I think Ricard, because he's so shrewd. Xander no longer can use. He used two votes on Liana, right?
Yes.
So he's out of votes. They're going to be immunity animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whoever doesn't win immunity between Ricard and Xander should be voted out, followed by Erica.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it's going to play out that way, but that's what I think that should happen. From what I've seen.
Were you surprised Xander used the extra vote to get rid of Liana?
I think that was poetic justice for Xander. Again, he's kind of slick in his way of thinking. She begged for his advantage and she finally got it, right? She finally got his vote. He couldn't use it anymore, right?
I think that's a good question. I got the sense that he could. I know that it was the last night for the shot in the dark, but I mean, the problem with talking about this is like, we don't even know what the rules are. It was the last night for the shot in the dark. I think that next, or you could play idols until the final five, but who knows? And we don't know what the rules are for the extra vote.
I thought it was final six. Are we down to six?
The next one will be six.
Yeah, I thought you couldn't use it beyond. I thought he couldn't use it beyond last night.
Who knows?
If he could have kept it and used it, then it was a bad play to use it just to make a point. Because I saw that happen a couple of times. Even Ricard, Shan missed that writing as well. When Ricard talked her into using her extra vote.
Yeah,
that to me was unnecessary because they had the numbers.
Okay. How about this question from Baby Andy wants to know about how Deshaun confronted Ricard in a way that didn't achieve what he wanted in Survivor and in life. What's the best way to get your point across without having it backfire?
You're asking me that, Baby Andy? Come on now. I had trouble with that, right?
Yes.
What's the best way to... get your point across without what?
Without having it backfire.
And refresh me on what the moment he's speaking about where Deshaun has approached.
Deshaun went to Ricard right after the tribal council and wants to, why is he getting blamed for everything?
Oh yeah. I thought he was way too emotional. Because at this point, everything you do is a reflection on how the jury is going to perceive you as a player or not. Mm-hmm. Right. So he got too emotional. Ricard was the wrong person to bring that to. And again, Ricard was cool and collected. By the way, Ricard has an advantage that none of them know about. One of his superpowers is that he's deaf, right? It's a disability. But in this game, he said he reads lips and body language. Come on.
I was surprised that that wasn't a bigger thing. I know he talked about in the pregame, like, oh, that's a superpower on Survivor. Yeah, I know there are different ways that Ricard's lack of hearing is a disadvantage. But in some ways, I would have to think that, that's a strength.
Well, in the confessional, though, he owned up to lip reading and body language, and you could kind of see him doing that. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised about that. But back to that point of Deshaun, I just thought he kind of handled himself poorly because you never want them to see you sweat like that. And he was trying to find his way is what I think it was. And so he was trying to fill people out, but that was kind of the wrong way to do it. So I would say that you want to go and not come from an emotional perspective, but say what your points are. And hopefully, you're reading the room or the body language as to whether or not your points are landing. The point that you're trying to make is landing well with the audience you have. And I don't think he did a good job of that. And I do think several of them lack that this season, including Shan, because, again, if she would have added up all the opportunities that Ricard showed his card, she would have known it was time to take him out. And that happened with me and Angelina, which is how I knew Angelina wasn't fully on board with me, because she would tell me one thing. And what she didn't know is I had John, and John would tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. So I knew she was lying to me throughout the game. And at one point she was mad with me because in one of my exit interviews, I said she was the sneakiest player of them all. In the game. And I said, girl, I ain't apologizing for that. This is after the fact. I said, because I meant it. Mm-hmm. And then I gave her several examples of why I knew. And so they said Natalie was blindsided. I went in that tribal council kind of thinking 50-50 that I may or may not make it.
This is a question from Max Zambrano, who says, Natalie, if there was no swap on your season, how do you think that things would have played out for you, if not the rest of the game? So if it was just the Goliaths the rest of the way until the merge, what do you think would have happened?
Well, it could have been a swap, but I said if I would have swapped out differently, I would have been in better shape, because had I swapped with the team that John and Dan was on, I would have went so much further in the game. And even Allison, And I was really developing a relationship with Alec at that point as well. So I had John, Dan, followed by Alec. John and Dan were definitely allies day one. I had separate conversations with them. And then I pulled in Alec by day 4 or 5. And Allison was coming along with him because I could tell that Alec and Allison were joined. So had I been swapped with any other team, it would have worked out much better than what it did for me.
Mm-hmm. This is a question from Connor Dunn. Who has the most fabulous skin this season? I know that you pay very close attention to the skincare. Is there one player that's doing an incredible job?
Well, it's hard to have fabulous skin out there. My comment was really a dig as people were leaving when I said that in my confessional, because, you know, given a compliment with the fact at the end of all of that, I had a compliment to give.
Yes.
But yeah, there, you know, it's hard to keep up with the skin out there. Trust me. You know, because either you're washing it with salt water or you're trying to rinse it off with, you know, you're drinking water, and the only advantage you have is the fact that you're in a humid environment. And so therefore, you know, your skin, my skin tends to fare a little better because, you know, I'm in Los Angeles where it's pretty hot and humid.
Dry.
And dry. So yeah. I beg your pardon, hot and dry as opposed to the humidity that one might find on the island. Mm-hmm. So all of them have probably good skin. Like as soon as you see them go to the jewelry, then you could really see their skin. Like, did you see Shan's skin? Mm-hmm. She was glowing the other night.
Natalie, yeah. It's a 26-day game in this season. Do you have any thoughts on that versus 39-day game?
As you said earlier, I'm old school. I prefer 39 days. It's hard enough to get, because I think that's probably why we're not seeing a lot of character development until late in the game for people like Danny, right? Yeah. Because it's so little time. 39 days is a long time, but I think it works to the advantage of the game because you let things play out a little longer and everything is not so rushed. So, yeah. Are they planning on keeping it a shorter game going forward?
I don't know. I think that the next season is supposed to also be 26 days, but I don't know if that's a COVID issue or it's like that they feel like creatively they may like doing a 26 season obviously it's going to be cheaper to do 26 days over 39 days. So I don't know how much that's a consideration.
Yeah. And still, I even hear that there is no official, since they filmed the finale and all of that on the island, mm-hmm. that kind of takes away from a big celebratory event that people enjoyed here, you know, doing it in the studio. So I think they
would like to get back to that if they could. I could see them still continuing to do a 26-day season, but then doing a live finale. Like vote reveal still, because I think that they like having it a secret so that people can't spoil the winner or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. Natalie, I think that also one of the things that was one of your superpowers in David versus Goliath, the elements did not seem to affect you. The other players that they it's a cyclone. And you were like, I love this.
Yeah, I do love the weather like that. Like, you know, if it's raining, I think it's romantic to be able to be out in the rain and walking around and having that, you know, the rain hit your skin. And so the rain to me is not a big downer as it is for others. Now, if I was in it, like in the weather that you have, say in Seattle, maybe I would look at it a little differently. But in LA, when it's raining, I'm really perfectly okay with it. Being in the cyclone was interesting because, the fact that everybody was having a meltdown, not everybody, but the Goliaths really fared very poorly during that time. I saw it as an opportunity for me to move up in the game. And so I really was like, bring it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if they're going to quit because of a little cyclone, then, you know, I'm your girl.
And these players have had very good weather this season, right?
They have. I was saying that the other night. I was like, you know, because even with the humidity, you get a lot of the bugs, you know, that come out and they impact you while you're in the challenges and so forth. They've had very little of that, which is to their advantage.
Natalie, do you have a winner pick for this season of 41? Who's going to be the winner in a couple of weeks?
Well, it's kind of hard to call it. I can say who my final three.
Okay, give me the final three.
Would be. I think the final three is going to be Erica, because only very few have recognized her power and the fact that she's a threat, and the few that have recognized it are already gone. I think she's going to be a final three. I think I'm beginning to think Danny might pull it out because he's still in it. He hasn't really pissed many people off as it relates to the jury. So his social game has been decent within the four. Deshaun has become controversial at this point, so he may not make it. Mm-hmm. So Erica and Danny, and then it's between Ricard and Xander. That could be different. And then you got Heather, who's a goat that somebody might want to. Oh, my goodness. Did I say that? Mm-hmm. But it's true. Heather is going to just be taken along at this point if they decide to take her for the ride. But I think you have some kind of theory about the goat being a threat, right? I forgot what your theory is.
Well, theory is that they're a threat because they're clogging up one of those spots and everybody's falling over themselves. Like, they're never going to get voted out. So it's like all the more reason that you're going to get voted out because people are trying to take them with you.
Right.
Or with them.
Yeah, and I think that that's problematic, and especially Erica, she would have that vote, right? She would either take her with her or she would have that vote. So that's not, Heather is there kind of at this point to just see how long she can hang, but there's no way she can win this game because in my thinking, if you really aren't playing the game and you don't have a resume to support the different moves that you've made, then I don't respect people that vote for someone who really didn't have a game play just because they like them personally or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't see her winning, but I do see her as an opportunity for someone to pull her along. And that someone would be Erica to use her as an opportunity. Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of anybody's game because really Ricard was in a really strong space, but he has no allies in the game left. So I don't see him making it really to the final three. Xander could make it to the final three just based on what he's done so far and been able to maneuver. He doesn't really have friendships, but he has the opportunity to make some if he helps them take out Ricard. So Ricard is his shield currently. So I don't know. I think I gave you four. In fact, I gave you five, right?
Yeah. You got a few. Now, we were robbed of not getting to see you on the jury. You would be such a great juror.
Yeah.
And, well, you'd be a great winner. But also,
I was robbed to not go further is the bottom line. Robbed to not go further. And that's my biggest regret, that I didn't go further. I didn't make it longer. And it looks easier when you're at home, kind of second call in the shots, what do you call it? Quarterbacking.
Monday morning quarterback. Yeah, quarterback.
It's easy to do that when you're out there in the moment and in the elements, and the window of opportunity is so small and it moves so fast. Trust me, they're not stopping and saying, well, what do we do about that? And how do we do about this? It starts, it's lights, camera, action, and it moves, as you know.
Yeah.
And so there's really not a lot of second guessing. And when they show people who are doing that, it's kind of funny because it's not a whole lot of time in the game to do all that second and third guessing. You got to be solid on making the call and being able to withstand the heat to take the heat. If you've made the call, you got to be able to own it. And yeah, so I would love to have made it further along in the game.
Natalie, I know that you are an incredible writer. Have you ever considered a memoir?
No, and I really am not an incredible writer because I have people who work for me who do the writing, right? Mm-hmm. I just understand what needs to happen from a content perspective and more so driving the business side, and I let the professionals do what they do. But no, I haven't considered that. I have I actually have written a couple of chapters in a couple of different books. Like, I organized a book of women doing business and how they excel. And it's called like Million Dollar Conversations. And I talked to a good cross section of women across the country and had them each kind of give me a chapter on, you know, what they've done to be successful in life. And so I've kind of approached it from that perspective. And then someone else asked me to do a chapter. And then there's a book that's the 100 most influential women in California. And they asked me to be featured in that book. So I've had a couple of little places where I've been able to, you know, have a space and somebody's telling a portion of my story.
Mm-hmm. Well, Natalie, I'm so glad that you came on here to talk with me. I know you don't do a lot of interviews, so I feel very honored that you took the time to talk to me today.
Always for you, Rob. I loved you and Survivor and your gameplay, and I expected to see you back out there on one of the islands, you know, by now.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll be together.
Rob, would you still go back?
I think I would, you know, it's for what I do. Like, I think it would be a great chance to like expose people to what I do on the podcast, but I I'm not dying to go do it, Natalie.
Right. Well, you have such a great sense of humor, and I just never forget how you were just so funny. You kept me laughing.
Thank you. I appreciate
whenever
that.
Whenever you had screen time. So I would love to see you play again.
Okay. But you can go that, I would rather see you go.
Well, you know what? If Second Chances came back, I just can't imagine that you not being a part of the vote, right?
Well, Natalie, it's a sad story, but I already had a second chance. I need a third chance.
That's right. I know you had a second chance. You're right. But you're right. Okay. Yeah. So you wouldn't do Second Chance, but you might get a
maybe. Maybe I did so bad.
Some people have played 4 and 5 times.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot when you get to play 4 and 5 times.
That is a lot.
Give me 4 or 5 opportunities, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll win at least twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you're going to win eventually.
Yeah.
Natalie, the odds are in your favor to win, right?
Yes. I see that you are you going to this finale party that's coming up this month?
Yeah, I am going to go. It's next week.
Yes. Lauren Ashley Beck is putting together a finale party.
Yeah. And I'm hoping some of 41 is there.
I think so.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I haven't been on social media for too long in order to keep track, but I do want to update, and I hope that they have some of the players that are coming out, because that'll make it fun. But it's for a charitable cause for, you know, kids. And so, yeah, I did agree to be there. So, yeah, I'll go over and have a couple of drinks and chew the fat with a few people.
Okay. I'll be very jealous that I can't be there, but it should be a very fun night. Where could people keep up with you?
Well, I'm on Instagram at @ThatNatalieCole. And Twitter at @NatalieCole. And I'm mostly on those two as opposed to Facebook. So find me at @ThatNatalieCole.
Okay. Natalie, anything else you want to tell the listeners?
Well, look, I just appreciate all the love and support that I've received since I came out and was on. Well, I didn't come out exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, your season came out.
I appreciate all the love and support from the fan base, right? And I even appreciate the people that didn't really get me or got me late, because I'm an acquired taste for some, you know, like some people say, I couldn't stand her, but I love her now and I understand. So I just want to say thank you for all of you. And I love people like Rob and what you do for the Survivor community. You know, it's just a great thing that you're out there talking up the game all the time. And it's a game that I loved then.
Thank you.
And
for
I love now. And I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. The great Natalie Cole. Natalie, thank you so much. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. And thanks for sending in those great questions.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The great Natalie Cole here on the podcast. And boy, Natalie is super fun to talk to. I really could listen to her talk about anything. And so I'm very lucky that I get to talk to amazing people like Natalie Cole. So thank you again to Natalie for making some time to talk with me. We still have a ton of great podcasting to do over this weekend, because on Friday, I'm going to hear from Jason Concepcion. We're going to have some bonus coverage coming your way this Friday. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be talking with the Purple Pants badass Bryce Isaiah on the Feedback Show. Get your feedback questions in. And on Monday night, I will talk with Grace Leader on the Survivor 41 patron Q&A. Plus, the patrons are going to get to hear from Adam Klein this Tuesday night when we're going to talk reality TV casting. So just a jam-packed next couple of days. Plus, we're going to talk about Selling Sunset on Nothing But Netflix. Chappelle and I are going to talk with Asia Welch and Genevieve Guadalupe about the first couple episodes of the new season of Selling Sunset. Plus, it's Five Nights at Fally's on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. So that's just what's coming from me, not to mention everything else that's going on all of the other Survivor RHAP shows this weekend and all the other non-Survivor RHAP shows this weekend. So check it all out at robinswebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
For 40 years, the tragic drowning of Hollywood legend Natalie Wood has baffled the world.
There are still suspicions about what did happen aboard the yacht.
Now, from the producers of the chart-topping podcast Fatal Voyage, The Mysterious Death of Natalie Wood, comes explosive new evidence in the mystery of who was responsible for her death.
Were you instructed by Robert Wagner's attorney to say nothing to authorities about what happened on the boat?
Yes.
This sequel to Apple Podcasts' most downloaded new show of 2018 will now expose a 40-year conspiracy of political corruption, suspected mob ties, and the tragic death of another young woman.
Why would they want to kill a 13-year-old girl?
And features for the first time two independently verified polygraph tests by one of the last men to see Natalie alive.
Following Natalie Wood's death, have you been threatened for speaking out?
Yes.
This is the shocking story of how the people at the center of this cold case were silenced for decades, and will reveal the long-buried secrets they're finally ready to spill in the name of justice for Natalie. Natalie Wood, Case Closed, coming soon to all major podcast platforms.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.